Good morning. 7:14 a.m. on the 29th of September, 2016. Month's almost over. Phew. It's a cold morning. It was not quite 50 degrees when I left. I'm building up a nice head of steam here in terms of body temp under my quilted flannel and fleece pullover. Wearing my lumberjack shirt today. My fingers are cold. I've had them in my pockets and now they're out. But I think I've got enough body heat to keep them going. My nose is... Let's just say I'm a healthy pup because I have a cold, wet nose. Which is kind of disgusting when you think about it, but probably should just move on. Anyway, yesterday was one of those odd days where I got home, I made some blueberry pancakes, I got breakfast, had some coffee, got sucked into a couple of discussions about a tool that measures the probability that Amazon reviews are faked. Got a little writing in. Got a few words down. We'll take those. And completely spaced out the fact that I hadn't even unloaded the phone from the morning walk. So when Anita sent me a little message on Twitter, it was like, oh, crap. The other day's post, Walking in the Sunshine, played weird games. I think yesterday's post was okay. I heard from Dan Thompson that Walking in Sunshine still has a problem. I'm not exactly sure what the problem is. But it's pretty tedious that it is in fact a problem. Also had a lot of did a lot of follow up on something that came over the feed Sci-Fi Reader? Nat Hohfelder, anyway, had some reporting from yesterday about a lot of people getting dinged from Bluehost and having much the same problem that I had with Bluehost, in that your website is shut down, quoting terms of service spam, and an email that basically says, nice little website you have there, it'd be a shame if anything happened to it, but for $150-$200 We can take care of that little problem for you. Now, the problem is that Bluehost has a metric buttload of customers. So having even 100 of them get tagged in the same 2-3 week period. Some of the complaints I saw went back as far as August. They probably went back further than that, and I wasn't just paying it. They probably went back further than that, and I wasn't paying attention. This can be one of those days, which is unfortunate because I'm doing a review, an interview with Mark Stevens from Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers later this morning. So yeah, the way they handled it is similar across all of the various complaints that I heard. But the reality, my understanding from having a Spec 1 on systems myself, is that, yeah, it's stupidly easy for malicious code monkeys to get into your site, even with it locked down. And quite honestly, my site, because I have a lot of them, because there are sites that I had running and then, you know, sort of ignored, which meant that upgrades to updates to templates, updates to code didn't necessarily happen in a timely manner. I have a simple machines form script that probably needs to go away. I can't upgrade to the newest release because Bluehost doesn't support the level of PHP needed to upgrade. Which leaves that sort of hanging open. I think I'm going to have to get rid of it. In large part because it's really outlived its usefulness with the with the Facebook group, the Golden Age of Solar Clipper Facebook group. It's sort of where people are now going, and honestly, I only go on to the fan forums when I have somebody who wants access and has followed through and written to me to tell me that they've submitted their credentials. And whenever I do, I go in and there's 50,000 spam subscribers waiting in the queue. Which doesn't exactly help my throughput, which doesn't exactly help my reputation with Bluehost. So I'm sort of in a bit of a quandary. I'm not exactly sure how I move a host, a URL, an address that has been, a domain name, thank you, that has been registered with Bluehost off from Bluehost. And in theory, I suspect I could just redirect it. Probably should look into it. I was actually given some serious consideration to going over to Iceland and taking advantage of 1984 hosting, which is off, because it's in Iceland, it's definitely offshore. Not that I have anything to hide, it's just that considered a protest vote. So yeah, later this morning, 3 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours from now, 4 hours from now, 5 hours from now, I don't know what it is. Late morning, 11-ish. Mark Steven is going to interview me about Amazon and my views of the Amazon business model and some of the exceptions that I took to Robert Sawyer's keynote speech a few weeks ago at Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers. I'm given the organizers are trying to work it out with the recording people to make recordings available because there are a lot of people who want recordings who were unable to get them because they couldn't stand in line long enough waiting for their recordings. And I sort of want to get a recording of his speech so I can get a transcript of it. I'll have to make a transcript, but so I can make a transcript of it to see what parts of it I remember aren't there. Or maybe are there, and other people who are telling me, no, he didn't say that. Monk post. So that I can actually see what it is he said and not have to rely on my memory or the memory of others to sort of dig into some of the comments that he made that were, I found some of them faintly insulting, but I also consider the source, and that he's really just working as a surrogate for the Authors Guild, which is a surrogate for traditional publishing. I have used the word sock puppet. Technically, he's not a sock puppet. Authors Guild is not as bad as Authors United. So anyway, it's been a sort of back office. Sound like I'm from Long Island. So yesterday was sort of a back office day where I was looking at the industry, looking at business, looking at how this new tool that's supposed to point out fake products that have potentially unnatural, they used to call them fake, but then probably got into trouble, so they're now calling them unnatural. Reviews. I don't know if it has any potential. I don't know what the upside potential of it might be. The problem is that you've got this tool that sits off on its own, and you put in a URL for a product from Amazon, and it goes out and analyzes reviews and the reviewers who make them, and make some pronouncements on whether or not the review stream has been unnaturally tampered with. And the problem is, dumb stats are still dumb stats. So one of the things that it looks at is people who have done a lot of reviews. And if your book falls outside of their template for what's appropriate for a book, then they flag those reviews as problematic. So I ran a quarter shift through it, and of course my reviews are all fake. No, they're not all fake, but according to their tool, it's a high probability that I have gamed the review system, which is something that I frequently hear, because nobody believes that you actually can get reviews, and that nobody believes I really lately. I really don't. I don't place as much value in reviews. They're nice. They're lovely. When I'm feeling a little too full of myself, I go read the one-star reviews. When I need a little pickup, I go read the five-star reviews. When I'm depressed about the reviews that I have, I go read Nora Roberts' reviews or George Martin's reviews. But, you know, that... I've said way back in 2010, when I first started publishing, I said reviews are a measure of marketing reach. They are not a measure of quality. They are not, when it comes to books in particular, books are not fungible. Books are not substitute goods. You can't put a Nora Roberts work in my fan base and have it adopted as just as good as. As, well, Nate hasn't got a new book out, so I'll go read Nora Roberts. No, I mean, you can go read J.A. Sunderland, who is actually having a conversation about this on Kindle Boards. And the Writer's Cafe. That, you know, his Little Ships with Alexis Carew. Yeah, this is, okay, sure. I don't have a book out, but Sunderland does. Go read his book. I'm good with that. But see, some of the things that were amusing was that if you find the same language across a variety of reviews, that tends to flag it. Particularly if enough of those reviews are unverified purchases, particularly if those phrases are used across other reviews in the brand. So, phrases that were flagged in QuarterShare were coming of age, solar clipper, golden age, there's two or three others that were variations on Solar Clipper. So if they found Solar Clipper to be problematic, anybody who used Solar Clipper in a common phrase, like the Golden Age of Solar Clipper, were flagged as potentially problematic. And what it really underscored for me was that they were counting the words without being able to parse the syntax, to parse the meaning. So the Golden Age or Solar Clipper universe got counted the same way as blah, blah, blah. So if people had put blah, blah, blah three times, or, you know, if more than one person had put blah, blah, blah in the review, they would have counted that as problematic, even if it's part of the series, even if it's part of the universe, even if there were people who had their names flagged because they were the author, and so their name got mentioned more than once, which flagged the reviews as problematic, likely fake. And a lot of the, when you start digging into the data, what you find is that they flag things that are sort of counterfactual. So at least a few, I'm not going to say a lot because I don't know, because they didn't tell me all of it. But the ones that I spot checked, every factor that tagged me as fail had at least one review contributing to that failure, that was a one or two star review. If I'm going to game the system, why would I game the system with a two star review? Some guy with over 4,000 reviews contributed to the fact that I have too many high count reviews on QuarterShare. He's done 4,000 reviews. He's a relatively high-rated reviewer on Amazon. He didn't like the book. He gave it a 2-star. Why is that counting against me? I don't get it. I don't get it. At any rate, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.